In the book of Ephesians, our Lord speaks about a special kind of darkness, a darkness that's like no other kind of darkness. Similar, yes, to the ordinary darkness that we experience, but still altogether different, A kind of darkness that's strangely powerful, with a sinister ability to veil the eyes and the hearts and the minds of anyone that's within it, preventing them from seeing and perceiving many of the sin-filled activities and all the behaviors that are taking place there. It's a darkness that many, many people live within, sometimes their entire lifetime. Sometimes their entire lifetime without ever knowing that it's taking place. It's a kind of darkness that veils our inner senses, preventing us from seeing and from sensing those things that are beyond our common eyesight. Things like attitudes and behaviors, both within ourselves and within other people. Attitudes and behaviors that are not right and they are not good. A darkness that has a mysterious power that can draw us into its own perspectives, regarding those things that are taking place within it. And unfortunately, without the presence of the Holy Spirit within us to warn us away from that darkness, we'll find ourselves joining in with it and with its ways and with its behaviors. That darkness is that sinful condition that our Lord warns us away from in his words given to us there in 1 John chapter 2, where he says to us, "Do not love this world or the things of this world. If anyone loves this world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of this world." And this special kind of darkness, folks, is the darkness that Jesus spoke about to his disciples here in these last few minutes here in the Garden of Gethsemane as the soldiers came to take him away to be crucified. It's a special kind of darkness that we, that you and I, must be ever so careful to not be captivated by. Listen to these words of this passage that we'll study today. Here, beginning in verse 47 of Luke chapter 22, we read, "While he," that is the Lord Jesus, "while he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him, and Jesus said to him, 'Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?' And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, 'Lord, shall we strike with the sword?' And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, 'No more of this.' And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and the elders who had come out against him, 'Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness.'" Let's begin our study today by saying again that yes, this darkness that Jesus spoke about here in these words, it is ever present and it is all around us every moment. And it's powerful. It's deceptively powerful. Well hidden within the confines of this sinful world and within the personalities and within the plans of those who control this world. Dark hours and dark purposes, both within the visible and the invisible realms of this world. And may I also remind us that these scriptures warn us that within that visible realm of darkness resides a prince, an evil and very powerful prince who commands a force whose only intent is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. and he is ever in pursuit of his wicked wiles and schemes. Here is Jesus observed Judas and the temple guards coming into the garden there in Gethsemane. He knew that his dark hour of suffering had finally come. He'd spoken about that hour to his disciples on many other occasions, but none of them had understood what he meant by those words. And during those times of mourning, Jesus had deliberately left further explanation unsaid, because he knew that the disciples weren't really prepared to hear and to comprehend the meaning of the dilemma that the cross would bring to them. And there in the garden, as the hour and the dilemma were on them, they were still not ready. They were still not ready, but Jesus was. He was fully prepared for all that he had need to endure. You'll recall that only a few moments earlier, he had been deep in prayer with God the Father, struggling with that soon coming suffering of it all, especially the weight and the power of the sin that he had have to take upon himself. And remember also how his suffering had been so powerful that his human body was unable to contain the misery of it all, causing him to sweat great drops of blood. And that how, as he suffered, he had been ministered to by an angel from heaven. Those words in verse 43, "And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him." Oh, dear Christian, we need always to be reminded that God does this very same thing for you and for me, far more often than we might realize. We're told in the book of Hebrews that God sends his angels to minister to those of us who have salvation, and especially in our own dark hours of suffering. Accounts of those times and circumstances are given to us when we see where angels ministered to men like Abraham and Jacob and Moses and Elijah and on and on. And they're all recorded throughout the words of these scriptures. And God gave us those accounts so that we might know with a certainty that he is always fully aware of the needs of his beloved children. And that, as Jesus tells us here in these words, legions of angels are always at his beck and call to give his children aid and comfort and guidance and protection. Here the angels ministered to Jesus in his dark and his difficult hours. And I am confident that angels are all around each one of us, all of the time ministering to us. We're simply unaware of their presence. Now, returning to the focus of this scripture today, may I say again that yes, dark and difficult hours will surely come to each of us out of this same darkness that Jesus spoke about here in our scripture text. That old prophet Job put it simply by saying that our life is but a few days and full of troubles. Life is but a few days and full of troubles. The days on this earth were indeed few for the Lord Jesus, and they were filled with troubles. Isaiah said of the Lord Jesus that he was a man of sorrows and full of grief. But again, Jesus was not caught unawares by the onslaught of his sufferings. He knew exactly from whence such things would come. They come out of what he calls here that darkness, that place where the prince of darkness and the sons of disobedience reside and they flourish. Here in these words, Jesus gives us a quick and simple confirmation. Listen to his words as his tormentors approach him there in that garden. Verse 52. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and the elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Now note again those last words. "But this is your hour and the power of darkness." In John chapter 3, verse 19, Jesus said, "This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." And we're told in these scriptures that the enemies of our soul are a combined effort of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Here in these words, we see two of those enemies beginning their attack on Jesus. He said, "This is your hour," speaking of the chief priests and the elders and the officers of the temple, "and the power of darkness," speaking of Satan and his demons. May I say again that the darkness that Jesus spoke about here is that special place in the invisible realms of existence where evil is able to freely roam about and to flourish. It's described as darkness for many reasons, but especially so that you and I might understand that we'll most often not be able to see into it and to recognize the evil that resides within it. And the power that Jesus speaks about residing within that darkness has been given its own special influence and dominance. And it will surely join with all who are willing to carry out misery, pain, and suffering upon others who resist it. And that's what we find taking place here. Men joining with the powers of darkness, coming there into the garden to arrest the Lord Jesus and to take him away to be crucified. Again, those words, "This is your hour," that's the chief priests and the elders and the officers of the temple, "and the power of darkness," Satan and his demons. Folks, I must tell you that I can fully imagine those men walking into the garden with invisible hordes of demons swirling all about them. The demons fuming and snarling and provoking the chief priests onto hatred and to evil works. Would the chief priests have realized that the demons were swirling all about them and urging them on? Probably not at all. Probably not at all. Just as we don't recognize them as they swirl all about us each day, urging us on to do sinful things that we should not do. But nonetheless, that is what the power of darkness does. And that is what the power of darkness was doing that day. Jesus plainly told us so. And he gave us these words so that when evil comes to you and to me, cloaked within its darkness, that we'll not be caught unaware and let it slip in on us and capture our hearts before we're able to mount a proper defense. Knowing then that those dark days will surely come to us, what are the proper defenses that you and I need to have in place? What are the defenses that will protect us and keep us from falling victim to the evil schemes of that darkness? Our answer is to first look to the Lord Jesus and to his response. Jesus was never taken in or fooled by that darkness. He was always aware to see that darkness and to be fully aware of everything within it. You recall that he was able to look into the face of Peter and see the face of Satan. And he could see the demons within the demoniac in the tombs. And also, he was able to see the demon within the little boy that he healed. And on, darkness never was dark to Jesus. Now, why? And how could that be so? It's because Jesus himself is light. Jesus himself is light. He is not just the source of light. Jesus is the light. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The answer for you and for me is surely within these words, folks. In Christ, you and I will have the light of life. You've heard it said often, even by the unbelieving world, that darkness can never overcome light. Darkness is simply an absence of light. So then, as light begins to enter into a person or place or circumstance, that light quickly and easily dispels the darkness. The answer for you and for me, our help in our days of darkness, begins here with the Lord Jesus. It's as you and I have His true light abiding within us that the darkness and its powers are quickly dispelled. Those words of the Lord Jesus again in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And as Jesus comes to live within us, folks, He'll not only be a light for us to see in the darkness, He'll also enable us to show His light on forward so that others might also see. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said, You are the light of the world. That's you and me. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Folks, this is a perfect picture of grace. We are never to keep God's provision just for our own use, but rather we're to pass it on to others. And then next, as Jesus comes to live and to abide within us, we're to also put Him on as a covering. Put Him on as a covering, much in the same way that we would put a garment on. That covering is described for us in detail as being the full armor of God. Listen to these words that are given to us in Ephesians chapter 6. They're in verse 10. We're told, Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Folks, as you and I would seek to prepare ourselves for the onslaught of the powers of that darkness, and it will surely come to us, this is our answer. This is our answer, and really our only answer. Because as these words clearly tell us, that darkness is filled with all sorts of evil and powerful demonic forces. And left to our own devices, we will surely be defeated. And may I add one other most important element into this equation, and that is humility. Humility. It will take a great deal of humility and submission on our part if we are to adequately be prepared for the dark hours that will come to us. We dare not hope in or seek answers from the ideas and the concepts of men, not our own and not those of other people. Rather, we are to depend entirely upon the power, the strength, and the guidance of God alone. And may I also add that we dare not simply try to ignore the forces within that darkness, as so many, many, even devoutly believing evangelical Christians are so wont to do. Those powers of darkness, they are relentless, and they have only one agenda, and that is we are to join with them or we are to suffer their wrath. As believing Christians, you and I are truly without excuse if we allow ourselves to remain unprepared. We have the light of Christ abiding within us, and He will show us truth and will reveal to us the evil that resides within that darkness. If we will simply put on the full armor of God, then we'll have every protection that we could ever need when that darkness begins to swirl its evil ways all about us each day. And so then, dear ones, be prepared for that darkness by putting on the Lord Jesus as a covering armor, and He will protect you from the evil that will surely come. His words there in John chapter 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of this world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And then those words again from Ephesians chapter 6 as we close. Verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." Pray with me, will you? Oh, dear Father, we confess to you that we have no power against that darkness. And we want you to be our protection each day as we enter into the activities of the day, which we know are filled with that darkness. Protect us, Lord. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.